Thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
In this week, we're beginning Perek Vav, the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avot, which, if you've been following along and remember from last week, is actually not really a part of Pirkei Avot. This extra chapter was added because there's a tradition to study Pirkei Avot for the weeks in between Pesach and Shavuot. So we need six chapters for the remaining 6 weeks between the end of Pesach and Shavuot. And the chapter begins with a kind of broad statement, Shanu Chachamim Bilshon HaMishnah. The sages taught in the language of the Mishnah. Baruch Shabachar Bahem UbeMishnatam. Blessed is God who chose them and their teaching. And this little preamble is designed to let you know that what's coming up are not actually Mishnayot, but they are Braitot, they are Tanaitic statements that are not included in the Mishnah, but are nevertheless important and worth learning from. And we'll also see as we continue into Perek Vav that many of the Mishnayot in chapters Aleph through Hey and chapters 1 through 5 really focused on what it was like to be a judge, what it's like to be a teacher, what it's like to be a student. And in the sixth chapter, we move more towards an abstracted, more theoretical understanding of Torah, the way that we often talk about Torah as a kind of broad metaphysical concept and less, you know, a judicial process. And we'll see that in that vein, there are a lot of quotations from Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, which often talks about wisdom or Torah in these more broad and abstract terms. We begin with Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, and remember, we're calling it Mishnah Aleph, even though technically it's not a Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, Kol ha'osek b'Torah lishma, anyone who engages in the study of Torah for its own sake, Zoche lidvarim harbe. This person merits many things. Velo od, and not only that. Ela shakol ha'olam kulo kedai hulo. That actually the entire world is sufficient for him, meaning that he is reason enough for the whole world to be created. We have this idea that the reason why God created the world was basically for two purposes, for humanity and for the Torah. So if you have a human being who keeps the Torah, that's basically all you need in order for God to say, I'm glad that I made the world. And what are the many dvarim? What are these different things that the one who studies Torah is going to gain? Here we go. Nikra Rea, he's called a friend. Ahuv, he's called beloved. Ohevet HaMakom, he loves God. Ohevet HaBriot, he loves other people. Mesamech et hamakom, he makes God happy. Mesamech et habriot, he makes other people happy. Umalbashato anava vira, and he becomes cloaked in fear and humility. And I think it's not incidental that anava and yira, fear and humility, are the two character traits that are most strongly associated with Moshe. And not only this, umachsharatu lihiyot tzadik v'chasid v'yashar v'ne'aman. It prepares him to be righteous and pious, upright and trustworthy. And what's, I think, extremely important here is that we say that the study of Torah, machsharatu lihiyot tzadik, it enables him, it prepares him to become a tzadik. And it is not the case that studying Torah in and of itself makes you righteous or is righteousness. You learn Torah in order to be the kind of person who is prepared to be righteous. It is not righteousness in and of itself. Umarchatu min hachet, and pushes you away from sin, umekaravatu li dezachut, and brings him close to merit, a meritorious behavior. Vinhanin mimenu, and other people benefit from him through etza vetushia. Etza meaning good advice, and tushia is a word that nobody really knows what it means, but is associated with the Torah, so let's just call it Torah. Bina ugvura, he also achieves understanding and strength, shene'emar, and here we have the pasuk in Mishlei, from where we have the term tushia at all. The Torah or wisdom says about herself, li etza v'tushia, I have good advice and I have tushia, whatever that means. Ani Bina, I am insight, Li Gvura, and strength is mine. We're continuing with a list of things that you get for studying Torah Lishma. Vinotenet lo, and the Torah gives him, are you ready? Machut, sovereignty, memshalah, ruling, v'chikor din, and the ability to really understand the law. Umigalin lo razei Torah, and they reveal to him the secrets of the Torah. V'naaseh k'mayan hamitkaber, and he becomes an overflowing, strengthening spring. U'chenahar she'eno posek, and like a river that never stops. V'heveitzanua, and he will be, or he should be, really modest. V'erech ruach, and patient. U'mochel al elbono, and someone who forgives insult, someone who lets things slide. U'megadalatu, the Torah makes him greater, and the Torah raises him up. Al kol hamasim, above all of creation. So if you had any doubt in your mind as to whether or not Torah Lishma was a worthwhile endeavor, Rabbi Meir promises you that it is. And there's a little bit of an irony in this pasuk, because the whole idea of Torah Lishma is that you're not studying Torah for honor, and you're not studying Torah for any ulterior motive. And if you're able to really divest yourself of trying to learn the Torah for any ulterior motive, Rabbi Meir promises you that you're actually going to be cleaning up in the departments of grace and power and kindness and goodness. So it's worth it to sort of take your eye off the prize for a bit and really learn Torah for its own sake. We continue with Mishnah Bet, Mishnah number 2. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, Bechol yom vayom, every day, Bar kol yotze mehar chorev, a heavenly voice, a heavenly echo, emerges from har chorev, emerges from the mountain, where we say that everything significant in Jewish history happened, umachrezet v'omeret, and it announces and it says, oy lahem labriot, woe unto them, to the creatures, to the people, me'albona shel Torah, due to the insult of Torah. Right, there's this bakol that is witnessing that the Torah is being disgraced and lamenting what might happen to people on account of that. Shekol mi she'eino osek ba'Torah, because anyone who doesn't engage in the Torah, nikra nazuf, is considered to be, is called, despised. She'ne'emar, nezem zahav ba'af chazir, you have a gold ring in the nose of a pig. Again, we have a pasuk from Mishlei. Isha yafa v'sarat tam, that's like a woman who is beautiful but doesn't actually have any understanding. Right, so there's some sense that disgracing the Torah is analogous to sort of having something on the shelf, owning something beautiful, but not really tending to it. V'omer, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi continues to say, V'haluchot ma'asei Elohim hema. The pasuk says in Shmot Lamed Bet that the luchot, the tablets, were a divine creation. V'hamichtav michtav Elohim hu. And the writing on the tablets was a divine writing. Charut al haluchot, engraved on the tablets. Al tikrei charut, don't read the phrase with the vowels that mean engraved. Ela charut, rather read it with the vowels that means freedom. She'ein lach ben chorin ela mi she'osek b'talmud Torah. Because there is no person who is free except for the one who engages in the study of Torah. V'chol mi she'osek b'Torah tadir, and anyone who is constantly engaged in the study of Torah, hareza mit'aled, this person is going to be raised. She'ne'amar, as it says, umi matana nachali'el, umi nachali'el bamot. This pasuk is not readily understood. This is a pasuk from Bamidbar, which is just a list of all the different places where Bnei Yisrael camped. And if you are a Midrashic reader, you want to know, why do I have this list of names of places where the Israelites camped? Who cares? So if you read the names really closely, you can see that Nachaliel sounds like an inheritance of God. Right? So Umi Matana Nachaliel, we have this notion of the Torah, the divine inheritance being a gift. And if you accept that gift and you have Nachaliel, then you will go to Bamot, and Bamot is also a term for the elevated places where you could serve God. So from Nachaliel, from the receipt and appreciation of the Torah, comes Bamot, comes being raised to these lofty places. We're continuing with Mishnah Gimel. Halomed michavero perek echad. Someone who learns from their friend, from their study partner, just one chapter, o halacha achat, just one law, o pasuk achad, or even just one verse, o dibur achad, one statement, afilu ot achat, even one single letter, tzarich linhog bo kavod. On account of that, you need to engage with respect towards that person. Shekein matzinu b'David melech Yisrael, because this is a characteristic that we find with David, the king of Israel, person who does not need to show anybody respect. He's the king. But shelo lamad me'achitofel el ha'shnei dvarim bilvad. He only learned two things from his teacher Achitofel, and nevertheless, ukra'o rabo, he calls him his master, alufo, his general, umyuda'o, and his confidant. Shene'mar, as it says in Tehillim, which traditionally we know was written by David HaMelech, Ve'ata enosh ke'arki, you are a person of my value, alufi umyuda'i, my general and my confidant. Ve'halo dvarim kavachomer, and you should make a kavachomer, you should make an a fortiori argument. If this light thing is true, certainly this more heavy, this more serious thing is true. Uma David Malach Yisrael, and if it's the case for David, the king of Israel, Shalola Mar Miachitofel Ela Shnei Zarim Bilvad, he only learned two things from Achitofel. And nevertheless, he called him Rabbo, Alufo, Umiyuda'o. Halomein Mechaveiro Perakachat, if you're a normal person, learning from a normal person, one chapter. O Halacha Achat, one Halacha. O Pasuk Achat, one verse. O Dibur Achat, one statement. Afilo Ot Achat, even one letter. Alacha kama v'kama, how much more so? Shetarich linhog bo kavod, that you need to show that person honor. And what does it mean to say that you have to show that person honor? Ve'ein kavod ala Torah, there's no honor beyond the Torah. Shene'mar, as it says, kavod chachamim yinchalu. The wise are going to inherit kavod. And what do the wise inherit? Torah. I think it's also not incidental, right, that we have the term nachala appearing again, right, that inheritance is a term that we are associating with the Torah, utmimim, and those who are perfect, those who are simple and naive in their trust of God, yinchalu tov, they are going to inherit good. Ve'ein tov ela Torah, and there is no good beside for the Torah, shene'mar, we continue with another pasuk from Mishle, Ki lakach tov natati lachem, for I have given you a good taking. Torati al ta'azovu, therefore do not abandon my Torah. And through these two psukim at Mishle, the Mishnah is actually creating a kind of syllogism. We know that the kavod that the wise inherit is parallel to the tov that the timimim inherit. And we know that the tov is the Torah because of another pasuk where we will pay attention to the parallelism, ki lekach tov natati lachem, I've given you a good lekach, I've given you a good taking, therefore do not abandon my Torah. So I have one pasuk which equates Torah with tov, I have another pasuk which equates tov with kavod, and since, through syllogism, I know that kavod equals the Torah. The last Mishnah that we learned this week was about the need to show kavod, the need to show honor to anyone who's taught you anything. Doesn't even have to be a complete verse. Doesn't have to be a complete word. Even a letter. You have to show that person kavod. And if the Mishnah were just to stop there, you would think, okay, this is a Mishnah about gratitude. If I learn anything, if I receive anything from you, I need to show you honor because I need to be grateful. But the Mishnah concludes with actually telling you what kavod is. What kavod is the Torah. So what it means to show kavod to someone who's taught you some piece of Torah is to teach them Torah in return, is to show them kavod. And the most, I think, basic way of understanding this is there's no more gratifying feeling than when you give someone a gift and you actually see them use it. So it might not be that the proper response to your teacher is to teach them back. You know, if you taught me a perek, I'm going to teach you two prakim. I'm going to teach you two chapters. But it is to demonstrate that you appreciate the gift and that you're using it. So if you learned an idea from me, and then you email me 3 days later and you say, I actually used this idea and it helped me to navigate a difficult situation, that's the proper way to show kavod for the Torah that you've learned. And there's also something sad that actually is associated with this idea of showing kavod to the people who you learn from and the people who you learn with. Traditionally, we say that the students of Rabbi Akiva all passed away in a very short period of time. And interestingly, the way that we describe the passing of Rabbi Akiva's students is that he lost either 12,000 or 24,000 pairs of students. Right? It seems that Rabbi Akiva didn't lose individual students. Rabbi Akiva lost chavrutas. And why did Rabbi Akiva's students pass away in such great numbers and in such a brief period of time? The Gemara says that it's because they did not show each other kavod. It seems that what Rabbi Akiva's students did was completely miss the point of this Mishnah. They were stingy with their learning. When one person taught another person an idea, person number two just kept it and never reported back to person number one about what they were doing with it, never tried to teach them a new idea in exchange. And you could see that the lack of kavod between the students led to a loss of Torah. If you're not grateful for the Torah that I shared with you yesterday, I'm going to become resentful and I'm not going to share with you any Torah today. Right, and you can see that the practice of showing kavod through the teaching and learning of Torah is something that generates more teaching and learning of Torah. And the restriction of kavod is something that limits the dissemination of Torah. So it's not only that kavod is Torah, it's that kavod generates Torah. That when I show you honor, when I show you that I appreciate who you are and what you have to say, you are inclined to teach me, you're inclined to learn from me. And it's a process that is mutually reinforcing. And I'd like to close with really zeroing in on the difference between gratitude, which is what we thought this Mishnah was about, and kavod, which is what this Mishnah really is about. We're accustomed to thinking that when we receive something from someone, the proper response is to be grateful. The risk to focusing only on gratitude is that gratitude is appropriate for recognizing that I got something from you. And the more we think that gratitude is so central and so important, we run the risk of actually seeing people as dispensaries of either good or bad. And if you give me something good, I like you and I'm grateful. And if you give me something bad, I don't like you and I'm not grateful. What kavod does is it tries to abstract us out of the mercenary relationship of exchange. You give me something, I give you gratitude in response. And instead, it says, when you see that someone gives you something, what you want to do is two things. You want to, A, give them kavod, give it back to them, some way keep the circle of giving alive, and also treat them with kavod. Think of them not as a tool that granted you this thing, but think of them in an I thou way. Think of them with a kavod perspective. I appreciate you because you gave me this thing, and I appreciate the totality of you, because I see that the fact that you are generous says something about you. It's not only that I appreciate this thing that you gave me, and I'm grateful to you for being able to give me certain concrete or even spiritual benefits. Next week's Mishnayot are Perek Vav, Chapter 6, Mishnayot Dalet through Zayin, Mishnayot 4 through 7.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration, and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton from March 3rd through 5th, 2017.